As we walk through this passage together and learn what God has to say about our relationship to police officers, let's look at Romans 13, 1 through 7 and see six lessons God wants us to learn about civil authorities. Six lessons God wants us to learn about civil authorities. The first lesson is this: we are called to submit to authorities, civil authorities. Now, let me just clarify something at the outset here. When you hear me say civil authorities, or when you read in the scriptures here in Romans 13 about authorities and rulers and governors, think police officers. That's going to be our practical application today. When Paul talks about authorities, he's talking about governors, he's talking about rulers, he's talking about magistrates and judges and mayors and city council members, and yes, police officers. We're going to focus in on the police officers this morning as we think about this text. Paul says here, every person is to submit to the governing authorities. Every person is to submit to the police. Is that clear enough? Every person, regardless of age, ethnicity, social status, economic standing, neighborhood, every person is to order themselves under the authority of the local police. The police have an authority over us. This authority is not to be resisted. It is not to be undermined. It is not to be downplayed. It is not to be dismissed. Rather, it is an authority that is to be respected and submitted to. So when the police say, stop, you stop. When the police say, stay behind this line, you stay behind the line. When the police say, please step out of the car, you step out of the car. When the police say, get on the ground, you get on the ground. That's what Paul is saying, and that is what God is saying to all of us through this text. We are to submit to the authority of the police. But you say, is there ever a time when we are allowed to disobey the authority? Well, there are very rare occasions when we must, as Christians, disobey civil authorities, like when they forbid us from doing what the Lord has commanded us to do. In that case, the civil authority is abusing their authority, creating a law or enforcing a law that requires us to break God's law. We see an example of this in Acts chapter 5 and verse 28. The apostles were preaching the Lord Jesus Christ there in Jerusalem. They were opposed by the civil authorities of that day, which happened to be the religious rulers as well. They didn't want them preaching anymore, and they said, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, the name of Jesus, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. In such rare cases where to obey the civil authority is to disobey God, we must obey God rather than men. But beloved, these are rare occurrences. And by God's grace, we live in a country where we experience religious freedom. And we are not put into a place where we are asked to disobey God and the law is forcing us to disobey God. Christians are called to obey their civil leaders in almost every circumstance imaginable. We know this because when the New Testament was written, these were not ideal times. These were not times where there was a benevolent ruler and there were benevolent local authorities who treated Christians fairly and with graciousness. That wasn't what was going on when the New Testament was written. And yet we read statements like this in Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Remind the people of Crete to be subject to their rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. Even when Christians were mistreated, they were to treat their authorities with respect and honor and obedience. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, writing when Nero was ruling. Nero, remember that? That Roman ruler who would routinely tar Christians and light his Colosseum with their burning flesh? This is Nero ruling when Peter says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king, Nero, as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right." So Christians in almost every circumstance are to obey their civil authorities. But why? Why should we? Well, I'm glad you asked that. That takes us to our second lesson. Authorities have been placed in our life by God. Civil authorities have been placed over us by God's design and by God's authority. Paul says next at the end of verse 1, "There is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God." Why obey the police? Because God himself has placed them in authority over us. You see, civil authorities, and the police in particular, are not a human invention, but rather a divine intention. This is God's plan for society, God's plan for the world. Police officers are placed in our life by God's design. My family and I were headed out recently for a vacation, going back to celebrate my mom's 80th birthday in Indiana. We loaded up the car with everybody and all of our belongings. We hit the road about 4 a.m. with a long drive ahead of us. And I guess having loaded up, heading out on Woodman Road, headed toward Highway 24, which would lead us to that eternal highway known as I-70, which seems to go on and on forever, especially across Kansas. It would take us all the way to Indiana. But apparently in all the excitement, it seems that I'd forgotten that there were constraints on the speed at which you're supposed to drive. But fortunately, there was an El Paso County sheriff there who was placed by God's divine design to remind me to drive safely and within the set limits. My son Ethan was providentially in the back seat recording the moment. Chronicling it for social media. Now in that moment when those blue and red lights at 4 a.m. are behind you and flashing and you know what you're in for, you could be thinking a lot of things about the police. Which is why you need to be thinking truth about the police. And the truth is, God has placed them in your life sovereignly for your good, for the community's good. Now, this may seem obvious and basic, but whenever we have an interaction with the police, we had better show respect and do everything that they say. We as a society need to be reminded of this. We need to go back to basics oftentimes, don't we? Because the foundations have been eroded. The foundations that earthly authorities exist because of a divine authority who's put them there. Civil authorities have been placed in our life by God, and that is why we need to submit ourselves to their authority and respect their authority. You see, we live in a sin-cursed and broken world. Society is cursed by sin and broken by sin, and society is cursed by sin and broken by sin because we, all of us, are cursed by sin and broken by sin. God has placed civil authorities in our lives in order to restrain sin and evil in the world, so that the world is not as bad as it could be. Were those providential restraints of civil authority removed, chaos would reign. That's why we talk about the thin blue line between an ordered, peaceful society and absolute chaos. This thin blue line is God's gift to us as a society, as a community, as families, and as individuals. We live in a sin-cursed world, a sin-cursed society, and we are sin-cursed people. But God in His grace has not only given us civil authorities to restrain evil, God in His grace has given us the most precious gift, His very own Son, Jesus Christ, who would for each one of us provide the forgiveness we need for our own brokenness, for our own sin. God sent His Son Jesus into the world, and Jesus, during His life, never sinned. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness, both the righteousness of God and the righteousness of man found in man's law, as well as the law of God. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness so that He could go to a cross and die a death as a substitute, a spotless lamb. Jesus, the sinless one, died in your place and mine so that our sins might be forgiven, so that our sins might be wiped away before a holy judge who can't just wink at sin, who can't just pretend it never happened. Jesus came in order that we might have life. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And He offers that life, eternal life, to all those who will now trust in Him, believing that His work on the cross, His death, His burial, and His resurrection is sufficient to save you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of Scripture is you will be saved, you will be forgiven, you will have eternal life. God is gracious in giving us these mercies. The third lesson we can learn from this text is to resist authority, is to resist God and invite condemnation. Look at verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. You see how this works? God places authorities in our lives, and He commands us to obey their authority. So it logically follows that to resist civil authority is to actually resist God. To disobey civil authorities is actually to disobey God. To disrespect civil authority is to actually disrespect God. To oppose civil authorities is to oppose God's plan, and to oppose God's plan is to oppose God. And when we oppose God, we are inviting condemnation and judgment upon us. You see, you can't honor God and dishonor the police. You can't love Jesus and hate the cops. It doesn't work that way. You can't be submitted to God all the while rebelling against civil authorities that He has sovereignly placed in your life. And Paul says here that there's a severe consequence for resisting those authorities God has sovereignly put there. And the consequence is condemnation, divine judgment, which makes sense. If to disobey a civil authority is tantamount to disobey God, the Bible calls disobedience to Him sin. And the judgment for sin is death, divine, eternal condemnation. And so the consequences for disobeying and disrespecting the police could not be more serious. The condemnation of your eternal soul. But God in His grace provides forgiveness for even that, for the one who will receive it by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Fourth lesson, authorities encourage good behavior and they punish evil behavior. Verse 3. This is God's design and intent for law enforcement. to encourage good behavior and to discourage bad behavior. Civil authorities reward good behavior, and they have the power to punish bad behavior. Paul says rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Do the right thing, and you will have praise from civil authorities. But do the wrong thing, and Paul says in verse 4 that you should be very afraid, for the civil authorities do not bear the sword for nothing. God has sovereignly arranged that the civil authorities would have a variety of tools at their disposal to encourage good behavior and discourage bad behavior, whether it be fines, arrest, imprisonment, or even the death penalty. All are within God's design for civil authority to encourage the good and discourage the evil. You say, well, how do police encourage the good? I get how they discourage the evil, but how do they encourage the good? Well, not in any small part, but by way of example. They serve as examples of law-abiding citizens within the community. They also encourage the good by enforcing the law. It helps to keep the honest people honest. It keeps the law abiders law abiding. What would happen if CSPD, you know, the mayor got together and the city council, and they said, you know what, for the next week, there will be no enforcement of the speed limits. No enforcement of traffic violations whatsoever. 1 week, a 1 week hiatus. What would that week be like on the roads? It would be crazy. You better take a vacation and get out of Colorado Springs for the week. You see, law enforcement helps to keep us all abiding by the laws, which keeps us safe, which is good for our community. It's good for our families. It's good for our physical person. And it encourages us to be part of a community, to abide by that community's laws, which is good for us all. Fifth, authorities serve as God's ministers for our good. Now, this is heavy. Police officers, I hope you're ready for this. This is good. You serve as a minister of God for our good. Did you know that? You are a minister of God, a servant of God for our good. Look with me at verse 4. It is a minister of God to you for good. Civil authority is a minister of God to you for our good. Paul calls them this twice here. A minister of God, a servant of God. It's the word we get our word deacon from, a servant. Police officers are actually, whether they acknowledge it or not, whether they realize it or not, they are serving God in fulfilling and exercising their duties. Paul goes even further in explaining the high calling of public service, the holy calling, if you will, of being a police officer. In verse 6, he calls them servants of God, but the word he uses is liturgos, which is the word from which we get our English word liturgy, talking about a worship service and a liturgy. That word was used for servants in the temple or for people who, like the Apostle Paul, ministered for the Lord. Paul uses that word here to say that these civil authorities are actually serving God as they fulfill their duties. He is sanctifying the service of the civil authority, calling it a noble and worthy calling, a calling not just from the public, but a calling from God Himself. Police officers serve in roles ordained by God and have authority that is vested in them by the authority of God Himself. Police officers are servants of the Lord, servants of God, helping to order society, restrain evil, encourage good behavior, and protect the innocent. This truth that police officers are servants of the Lord should also inform their service. They serve not with an authority that is from themselves or even merely from the community, but from God, who's called them to this service. And therefore, they should serve with a sense of humility and accountability before God. An accountability that extends beyond just their supervisor, beyond just their superior officers. An accountability that extends all the way before a watching God. And therefore, police officers are motivated to serve with integrity, treating those they come into contact with honor and respect as divine image bearers, worthy of just and fair treatment. And all of this is obviously for our good. Our good as a community. Our community is made better because of your service. Our lives are made better because of your sacrifices. Our church is able to assemble peaceably week after week because of your service. And we say thank you. Thank you to these wonderful women and men who every day serve us and protect our community. You bring us all so much good in your service that is not just to us, but is truly service to the Lord as well. Sixthly and finally, here's the so what. So what? So pay your taxes. Honor, respect, and obey police officers. You want some application? Pay your taxes. Paul says, render to all what is due them. You want to honor God? Honor Him by paying what you owe. Don't cheat on your taxes. Don't complain about your taxes. Rather, pay them. Knowing that when you pay your taxes, you are supporting these fine men and women and their families. And the work that they do. Yeah, you can clap for that. Furthermore, give honor and respect to these civil authorities. It should go without saying, but apparently it needed to be said to the Roman church. They needed to be reminded of these things. No doubt we do as well in our day. To honor and respect those who are worthy and deserving of honor and respect. To recognize their authority as being backed by the very authority of God. To honor and respect officers because we acknowledge the inherent difficulties of their job. The inherent dangers of their job. To honor and respect them because we understand, especially we as Christians, we understand they are doing the Lord's work. They are doing God's work. Restraining evil, encouraging order, in order that we might live lives of peace and safety. And that truly is a job worthy of our highest respect and deserving of great honor indeed. And all God's people said, amen. Can you just all say and verbalize with me, look over at these folks and their families and say thank you verbally? Thank you. Great. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are grateful to you that you have not left us in darkness, but you have given us the light of your word, which instructs us and serves as our guide in a dark world that is often motivated by pride and selfishness. Lord God, thank you for teaching us about how we ought to relate to civil authorities around us. And especially as we think about it this morning and apply this word to our lives, especially police officers. Thank you for the clear word that we're to obey them, respect them, honor them as authorities placed in our lives directly by your authority. Thank you for giving their work such dignity and noble nature by saying that they are your servants doing your work. Lord, may they do their work your way, showing respect, honor, and dignity to all they come in contact with. And Lord, we are so grateful and appreciative of them. We know the dangers they face. We know something of the dangers they face. We don't know it all. We don't understand it all. We know something of it. And so we ask for your blessing of protection over their lives and your blessing upon their families. Guard them and guide them, we pray. We entrust them to your very capable hands. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.